Hi, it's Ethan Hayter, and you're listening to Quick Link Podcast.
Oh my god, hey girl, and like totally welcome to Quick Link, like podcast or whatever, for Wednesday, the thingy of October. We're totally here for the next half hour to fan all over the pretty boys and the bikes and stuff. My god, they give anyone a microphone these days. What are we like, hon? Oh my god, Grayson, stop trying to make eBay happen. Hello and welcome to Quick Link Podcast's Wednesday show. It's the 20th of October. Happy birthday today to 1976 Tour de France winner Lucien Van Impe, to Emma Bougard of Team Coupe Hitech, and to those EF Palace Rafa Duck skateboardy thing jerseys, which started 1 year ago at the Vuelta. Today's big transfer news is that Giacomo Nizzolo is off to Israel Startup Nation as Quebecer Next Hash riders seek employment elsewhere next year. Also, Astana have announced the signing of Italian duo Antonio Nibali from Trek and Valerio Conti from UAE, while Bahrain are welcoming Alejandro Osorio, Eduardo Zambanini and Yasha Sutilin to their squad for 2022. We've got an interview coming up later with Zach Walker, but before that, the day's main news aside from Track Worlds is that five new teams have applied for a Women's World Tour licence for 2022, with the UCI relaxing the restriction that teams had to have at least one level at the second tier before applying. Those five new teams then, Jumbo-Visma, Tipico Silicon Valley Bank, Rally Cycling and new team UnoX, who have Eleanor Barker, Hannah Barnes and Joss Loudon on their books for next season. Also applying are the new Roland Kojias Edelweiss squad. If all five teams are accepted, the Women's World Tour will swell to 14 teams for 2022, alongside Canyon, SRAM, FDJ, Liv, Movistar, Bike Exchange, DSM, SDWorks, Trek and UAE, who have the RALABTC license for next year, subject to UCI approval. On the men's front, 18 of the 19 current World Tour teams have applied for a renewal at the road cycling's top tier, all of them apart from Quebecer Next Hash. Three teams renaming next year, Astana are now Astana Kazakhstan, with Premier Tech yet to announce who they'll be sponsoring next season. Dukernik are now Quickstep Alpha Vinyl, and Bike Exchange become Bike Exchange Jayco, who make big campervans, motorhomes and stuff like that. Three of the 19 men's pro teams have not applied for a second tier license next season. Those absentees are Androni Giacattoli-Sidemec. They'll become Drone Hopper Androni Giacattoli next year. Hopefully even more sponsors on the jersey. That'd be banging. Though they have confirmed that they'll soon complete the application process. Another Italian Pro Series team, Vini Zabu, are understood to be dropping down to the continental level, which is understandable as four doesn't really go into three. Their key sponsors, Farnese Wines, have pulled out and Delco have ceased to exist entirely after 48 years of racing. To some results from the day before we hear from Zach, Track Worlds got underway today in Roubaix. We're putting the show together in the gap between the day one sessions, so all that's happened so far is the Team Pursuit qualifying. In the men's, Italy went quickest with a 3:49.008 with their Olympic team of Simon Consoni, Filippo Ganna, Francesco Lamont and Jonathan Milan. Almost 7 seconds outside of their gold medal winning world record time from Tokyo, with atmospheric conditions in France slowing everyone down. France qualifying second with a 3:51.1, Denmark third with a 3:52.8, Great Britain fourth with a 3:53.7, then Switzerland, Russia, Poland and Germany in that order making the top eight cut, leaving, unfortunately in order, Canada, Belgium, Ukraine and Kazakhstan out of the running. Russia will race Poland, Switzerland face Germany, it's France v Denmark and Italy versus Great Britain in tonight's first round heats. In the women's team pursuit, Germany were quickest with a 4:13, Italy second with a 4:14.1, GB third best with a 4:16.12. Also going through to tonight's heats are Ireland, Canada, Belarus, Poland and Switzerland, leaving Nigeria as the ninth of nine entrants and unfortunately out of the competition. Also taking place tonight are the women's scratch race plus the men and women's team sprint events. The men's Kirin, TP Finals, Women's Devil and Men's Scratch take place tomorrow. And now to this episode's interview, and we welcome Zach Walker to the show. The first-year junior races for Utmost from the Isle of Man, home of Junior Tour of Wales winner Tyler Hannay, who we interviewed after his victory at that race back on show 244. Zach, the younger brother of Trinity Racing's Max Walker, has had a great year, including finishing third at Sequel Classic behind friend of the show Josh Tarling and Finley Pickering. He took third, too, at Cadence, and took second place finishes at both the Junior Tour of Yorkshire and the Junior Tour of Wales, where he came 11th on GC, the second best first-year junior. I asked the Pocket Rocket how he wanted to be introduced on the show, so to use his exact words, here's our junior correspondent Nathan Hardy chatting to Zach Walker, a beast, a superstar, an unstoppable rider.
Zach, thank you for coming on. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Happy to be here.
Good, please you could join us. So, just things off and kick it off with a... How do you sort of feel the season went for you? Obviously, it's your first year as a junior. Just sort of how was it?
It was pretty good, to be fair. Well, I think, like everyone else, I didn't really know what to expect going into it because, obviously, like, we hadn't done any races the year before because of COVID. So I didn't really go into it with any expectations, but I remember before the first national, I was pretty nervous. I was more worried about being, like, dropped from the group, to be honest.
Well, it didn't quite turn out like that, as we saw it. First one was Yorkshire.
Yeah.
That was a pretty impressive weekend. Second on the stage too. Sort of.
Yeah.
What was that like?
I was dead chuffed after that because I don't know. I didn't like think it was a fluke at the time, but I thought that I got like quite lucky with the situation. I only just hanged on that stage to second place. And then I got caught by the bunch, which was pretty scary on the uphill finish. But still, after finishing that one, I didn't have like that much confidence in myself. But yeah, I was dead chuffed with it. Dead happy.
Good stuff. Well, it did prove not to be a fluke. It was only 2 weeks later was Sickle Classic. That was a pretty eventful race. I mean, for most of the peloton, especially yourself.
Yeah.
Go through that a bit.
Well, I love doing races like that. They're fun, aren't they? Well, it depends how you are on the day, but I had a bit of bad luck at the start because unrelated, but my handlebar just snapped. So then I was on a spare bike, but luckily as I was chasing back on, the race got stopped. Were you in that race? Yeah.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Yeah,
slightly behind you.
Alright. I reckon I could have maybe got back on it even if it wasn't stopped, because it felt like I was flying through the neutral surface, but they were getting in the way. And then, I managed to get away. Got third in the end, but I was quite inexperienced at it, so if I could go back, I would have done the different loads differently, because I think I was actually feeling really strong that day, even in comparison to the others, but I just kind of got a bit excited. Launched my sprint from very far out, even though there's only like three of us, and kind of paid for it, but oh well.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I guess it was not bad company to be in that breakaway, being with Finn Pickering and Josh Tarlin, considering the years they've had.
That's why I was kind of like messed up at the end, because I was just kind of like thought it was cool to be in like a breakaway with them, so I like wasn't thinking straight, whereas if I could go back I'd probably like maybe try attack a bit from like a bit far out rather than just waiting for the sprint. But that was a good race.
Yeah, I remember that day. It was a very 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 tough for all those involved, I think.
How'd they go for you?
Oh mate, I was swinging near the back, not near the back, I wasn't near the back by any means. That was sort of the problem. It felt like I was miles down the back, and then you know, when the race stopped, it's like guys were getting back on for like 10 minutes after. I was like, where is everyone gone?
It was.
Sickle was. It's definitely different. It's definitely got a very unique character, I think, is how. We describe that one.
Yeah, luckily for me, I'm quite good at like positioning myself in the bunch, so I managed to. Well, I could just always be like at the front of the sectors and not have to go too deep, which helps. So,
yeah, yes, being near the front is usually good.
Yeah, but everyone gets told that, don't they? So
Yeah, so yeah, when you've got 150 juniors down a 3-wide road, all going for the front, it's definitely a skill to be there.
Yeah.
And continuing with the series, we'll miss out with champs for the moment, but continuing with the series, and then it was a little bit of a gap to my local race, the Bath Road Club Junior Road Race.
Is that your local one?
Yes. Relatively. About 40 minutes away from me, so it's about as close as I'm going to get a home race. That was cool. It was very hot conditions that day.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember that one. Yep.
Yeah. Well,
how was that one for you? I mean, you got up there, 7th.
Yeah, so, I don't know, it's quite weird, because it was hot. It wasn't extremely hot, it's just British people struggle in the heat. when I would think about it, I'd feel hot, but if I just didn't think about it, then I wouldn't get hot. But that was a weird race, because it just kept on, because it was so hot and people were just like exhausted from it, they just kept on being like little splits everywhere, and then so it just like split up, but like without like big attacks, just people had less energy, I guess, just to close little gaps. And so then I got into like a break of was it 7 at the end, yeah? And then
I don't know, mate. I wasn't in it.
Yeah, I got into 7, into a break of 7. That was quite cool as well, because everyone there was, I was just in a group full of weapons, to be honest. But but actually, it wasn't the best, because there was loads of Fencham. There's like, I don't know, 4 of them. So then when Finley Pickering attacked and got the gap, it was just non-Fencham people chasing, but none of us really wanted to go too deep, if you know what I mean. And even if we tried to bridge across to him, we would just have another one of them sat on us. So then, yeah, Finley Pickering got a massive gap in the end, because we all went dead easy. Then we had a little sprint up the climb, and then I don't know if it, I only drank like half a bottle in it, but I tried to sprint at the end, and Jesus, I just couldn't do anything. But looking back at it, I didn't struggle with the heat as much as I know lots of people did really struggle with it.
Yeah, it was very warm. It was 30 degrees.
Yeah.
No, I guess when you've got a rider like Finley Pickering off the front, it's either going to have to choose whether to commit or just let him go, because there's, even if you've got a few of you, you can't have a half-hearted effort chasing a rider like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that did sort of place you in a bit of a predicament, as they say.
Yeah.
Tough situation.
Exactly.
Luckily, it wasn't the week after. It was 2 weeks. I think it was two. It looks about two, 3 weeks after. It didn't seem to have the problem with the Fencham boys at Cadence. Managed to escape the jaws.
Did all of them? I think all of them might have missed the break in that one. Yeah.
I think there were only two of them in the race in the first place, and they both missed it. So.
Yeah.
Cadence. That was.
Yeah.
It was wet.
Yeah, that was. Trying to think of what the course was like, actually. Oh, yeah. Well, there was quite a big group off the... Well, like a decent group off the front. And up one lap, just coming up to the finish, I managed to just sneak off the front and just get across to it quickly. And this from quite far out, but then luckily, because there was such a big group of us, we just got some like through and off rolling, or I think in the UK you call it chain gang. So yep. we were just doing some chain gang. So it wasn't actually, we probably weren't going that much harder than using the bunch, but we got a massive gap. And then from that group just kept on getting whittled down and whittled down. And then I think by the end there was just 4 of us. And I don't know what happened in the bunch, but didn't it all start kicking off in like the last 2 laps in the bunch?
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest gap to the break was about 4 minutes. About 30 or 40Ks to go. And then everyone sort of realised, this is not coming back. We've got to go. And I think it's everyone just laid down what they had left. And it was like
ones and twos.
Yeah, it was like one... I'd had a mechanical like the first or second lap, so I'd just end up watching this race. But it's like one lap.
I remember seeing you in the feed actually.
Yeah. I was trying to hand out a bottle, no one took one. But no, it's like one lap. The bunch was together and it was a 4 minute gap to you lot at the front. And then it was a bunch in absolute pieces with a 2 minute gap.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. No rest for the wicked in the national series. 5 days later, Tour of Mendips.
Oh well, to be honest, it went all right with Mendips, but I wish I could have done a bit better. But I didn't do very good in the time trial. But half of that was down to I didn't have anyone to draft. You see, I done it all solo.
Yes. the infamous drafting.
Oh, that time trial, I couldn't handle that, watching everyone else draft. And I was going around and there was like this group of like five, just like 5 seconds behind me. And each time like one of them would finish, they would just do like a little spurt from their group and like roll me at the lines. And then in the race, I don't know if I was or not, but felt pretty heavily marked just because I'd been in quite a lot of like breaks, so I think people are just like catching on to it a bit more. So I struggled a bit in this race, just getting off the front, and had a few digs like on the second roads, on the second stage, on the flat stage. Like, well, we missed a proper break, but me, you, and two others, we chipped off the front with like half a lap to go, didn't we? Gained a bit of time.
I think it was about 8Ks to go. Yeah, it was pretty much the bunch just sat up, and it was the last chance to do anything. It was the only time really.
Yeah, and then I guess the last stage was like it was hyped up quite a lot because it was going to be the first time our age group had done like a kind of like decent-ish climb all year. I don't know, just the way that the race planned out, like, we never really hit the climbs hard from the bottom, and, like, going into them would go dead easy. Like, the break got a massive gap, didn't it? So, I felt good up the climbs, but just wish that it could have gone from the bottom a bit more. I was feeling good up the climbs, but then when you get to like the last climb, everyone can do a little sprint up it, can't they? Because it's like at the end.
Yeah, I did feel with that last stage, it's sort of almost a fear of the climbs.
Yeah.
Like, sort of everyone.
It would be like hard
to sit back.
Yeah, even like at the bottom of the climb, like because people would be scared of the hill, like no one would take up. It would only be like in the last half a minute, really.
It didn't really help this hard raining halfway through that last stage, actually. I think that just made everyone want to sit back more.
Yeah, it just gets into everyone's morale a bit. And, I don't know, the Max Poole was in yellow, but, like, the way that he chases the break, like, closes down attacks, he just does it really quickly and, like, snaps onto it straight away, so it's just, like, it takes a pace out of the race, I guess, because if you don't get that initial gap, then there's no point carrying on, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. No point just towing everyone round.
Yeah.
So, we're done with Mendips. Mm-hmm. Almost the end of the year.
Yeah.
All of Wales. What a race. Jeez, what a race.
Wow. That's it. I did enjoy it, to be fair. Everyone loves it, don't they? Wales, but time trial, that was quite a hard course. More, you like stress out a bit going into it, like thinking about how you're gonna pace it, but to be fair, the downhill section was quite fast, so you just make yourself gas, don't you?
Yeah, it was very, very strange time trial. It was very different to the one at Mendips the week before.
Yeah.
It was a very simple time trial compared to the tumble.
I was pretty happy with how I'd done on that, just because I'm not the best time trialist, but I think I was just above 20th, like 23rd or something, which is pretty decent for me, and I definitely felt like I paced it pretty well, and I just felt like I couldn't have done any better, so that was alright. Then we had the Pembrey stage the next day, and that was eventful. I quite liked it. Well, Pembrey, I love doing that circuit, to be fair. It's just all dead fast, and felt pretty fast going around it, do you not think?
Yeah, it's one of those circuits. It's good for those at the front, and then everyone else is trying not to die.
Yeah, I've heard from a few teammates that at the back it was absolute carnage.
Yeah, it really was.
I was just having a bit of fun with it but on that stage. To be fair, and then I attacked quite a lot, and then I think it was just like four laps to go. Me, Griff Lewis and Will Smith got off the front. We worked pretty well. Then when it got to like a lap to go, I was like, I'm not rolling turns because I'd had so many podiums and stuff throughout the season. I just wanted to win the stage. Wasn't that bothered about gaining that much time on GC because I knew that we wouldn't gain that much anyway. And then we come into the final sprint. I've gap rushed Will. I'm going around him and I think that I'm going to win, and then Griff Lewis just comes past. A lot faster.
Oh yeah, it's stage two. It was very mixed opinion. Gloss over stage three slightly. Not a lot happened there, but obviously stage four is the one that everyone comes for, the Tumble Mountain. What were your impressions of the tumble?
The tumble it is a hard climb. Luckily, I got to do it a bit at my own pace, really. So. That made it better. It is a big climb. It's maybe not as big as everyone makes out to be, because you got that initial, I don't know, probably about just under 10 minutes, but the last 5 minutes, don't think much is going to change because it does speed up a bit. But that, I thought that was a bit like what happened in Mendips. I think people were a bit scared of it, and then it kind of like the anticipation for it kind of, I don't know, made the lead up to it a bit boring, I guess. But obviously there was that break up the road which had loads of strong people in, but no one was really willing to chase it, were they? So that took like the win out the way. So from there I just thought try gain some time, but I felt quite heavily marked on that stage as well, to be fair. But like, Josh Tarlin and Will Smith was really interested in the white jersey. So he was chasing me down quite a lot. And then, obviously, got off the front with him, actually, about 5k out from the tumble. So we just kind of done a two-up then. Halfway up we got overtaken by the Fencham train, which I think you'll have to tell me, but I'm pretty sure they just smashed it from the bottom of the tumble. So yeah, they caught us about halfway up, so then I just tried to hang on to them for as long as possible and got dropped just before the finish. But I think I might have hanged on for like 8th on the stage, which wasn't too bad, to be fair, considering. Well, maybe it's a bit lower than 8th, but there's quite a few people up the road still, so from like the bunch I was, I don't know, like 5th or something, which I was happy with. If I could go back, I'd probably do a bit less maybe on the previous days, because I think I'd burnt quite a few of my matches just doing unnecessary things, but yeah, you get bored in races and you just have to make it entertaining, don't you?
Yeah, there can be a fair bit of sitting about at times.
Yeah, I get impatient. I say to myself, I'm like, I'll just sit in for the next 20k. 5 minutes later, I'm just there thinking of it. Let's just see if a cheeky attack will get away here.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone in that, to be honest. I'm sort of the same as well. On that last stage of Wales, I was always like, right, when's that going next? With him. go for it with him.
Yeah,
essentially Fensham. Like, there was a little group of 15 that had got off the front of the bunch, which I was in, and we had like 30 seconds at the bottom of the tumble. We didn't even get a K in, and I just hear, like, just breathing down my neck.
Yeah, well,
I was like, oh, where'd he come from?
No one had seen them all day because they had just decided to, wait for the tumble. Then they obviously absolutely hit it, and I've been told by my teammates that they were doing like these crazy watts and still going backwards. So
obviously, if people didn't know by this point, you're from Isle of Man. Same place as previous guest Tyler Hanney.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on him. We didn't touch on him. That's a bit weird. We touched on this with him a little bit, but sort of the scene on the Isle of Man. Like, what's it like? I mean, from the outside mainland perspective, it sort of it seems to be strong, but also a little bit more of like a sort of inclusive odd club at the side. But what is the scene like on the Isle of Man? How is it?
It's weird, really, because it's a small island, so it fluctuates quite a lot. Sometimes, one year you'll have like loads of riders to race against and train against, and then sometimes there's almost no one to ride with. But yeah, it's pretty good. Like, you have on the group rides, you have like lots of people. Maybe not like the big standout pros, but lots of people just like. Doing it full time, so the level is pretty high, and the terrain as well is pretty good, just because it's so up and down all day. Like, you can't really do like an easy ride around here, but and it's also quite good. There's a fair few like races, so it tunes you up a bit for the national series and stuff.
Oh, so that sounds good. Sounds good. It has always looked quite a strong scene. Always producing lots of strong riders. Like, obviously, I think quite a lot of our listeners will have, including myself, have been over for the Isle of Man tour, and this sort of when you first see the Manx riders, I think it's always a good show over there, definitely.
Yeah.
People have had a lot of fun there.
Yeah, it's weird. To be honest, the Isle of Man, they're not the best. We're never really the best at in the youths, but for some reason, I don't know what it is. Once the riders get into the juniors and under 23s, they just seem to perform a lot better. Well, in comparison to how they did at youth level, but I think that's maybe partly to do with not having like a track background, which really helps you at youth.
I imagine you. How much racing abroad have you done? Basically, discounting UK.
Well, I'm quite angry about that this year because I haven't actually been away to race. I've never been actually ever, but I want to do some like maybe UCIs at the end of the year, but. Just with the, I'm not turned 18 yet, so I'm not double vaccinated, so it's just couldn't get a way to guest for any races, but I see the results and I think I could have a decent crack, so it's quite annoying, but yeah, that's definitely something I want to do next year, like guest for some teams at some UCI races or in just any international races.
Yeah, cool. Well, sort of what that was leading into was I put this question to Will. I'm going to put it to you and see if you come out with anything different. Sort of maybe not so much as Will, considering you haven't been abroad, but you still have an idea of racing the continent and other places. But what is one thing you would change about racing, about junior racing in the UK?
I think just maybe all of the nationals are pretty similar, not proper mountains, but not pan flat either. So I'd just like to have one race where it's maybe just got like a proper mountain, like, well, not maybe a mountain, but like a 20-minute climb that we can go up. I don't really know any climbs in the UK, but I'm sure there are lots that are like a pretty decent amount. Like, so if you had a tour, maybe just have one stage dead flat, and then instead of like lots of little sharp climbs, just have like one day where it goes up like multiple 20-minute climbs. But I think the problem is just finding that in the UK.
Yeah, yes, the problem is we don't have that many long climbs, but yeah, I agree with you there. It definitely would be good to see a lot more variance in the courses, I think.
Yeah.
Said something different to Will, so I'm glad. Thank you for that. So, just to finish off, sort of, what are your goals for next season? Are you looking toward next year?
I haven't really thought about them that much, but I wanna win a race, definitely. At like either maybe national level or international level. If GB are sending a team to the Worlds, I really want to get into that, but I just find it's pretty hard putting your goals out before you've started racing again, just because you've obviously got some idea, but you can't tell how you're gonna go, like, in comparison to everyone else. So instead of like maybe having like a goal, like a results goal, I think my goal is more just to stay like how I am this year, but just become a bit stronger on the flat, a bit more powerful, I think.
I assume it's don't know if you can talk about this yet, but assume you're not moving team or anything drastic like that.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, the utmost team that I ride for, pretty ideal. If you're a Manx rider, just helps with traveling and logistics, and we're all pretty good friends as well, so quite a good atmosphere.
Yeah, so, I mean, to be honest, I think the only Manx, I think I've only seen Utmost coming over from the Isle of Man. Is there anyone else?
No. unless you ride for like an English team, I guess, but I don't think that it's worth it at junior level, at least. But then the only problem is that I'll probably have to try get some guest rides if I want to do some UCI races.
Oh, well, that is everything on the list. So we'll wrap things up there. It's been great talking to you. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, no problem.
You've been listening to Quicklink Podcast, your daily microdose of pro cycling news and results. You can find us across social media at Quicklink Pod, or you can contact us by emailing show@quicklinksports.com. You can support this show by using the code QUICKLINK when you shop with veloskin.cc for all your chamois cream and skincare needs, and also at efswheels.com where UK customers can get themselves a full set of tubeless-ready, full-carbon wheels for under £500. Share the show, and we'll be back with you tomorrow. Bye now.